Welcome to Retina Health for Life from the President's Corner, brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Murray, coming to you from Miami. On each episode, we'll bring you inspiring conversations about your sight and the special role the retina plays in making healthy vision possible. We'll hear from expert retina specialists, as well as directly from patients, about living life to the fullest with retinal disease. Join us and learn how to safeguard your retina health for life. Welcome to ASRS's Retina Health for Life from the President's Corner. I'm Dr. Timothy Murray from Miami, Florida, and on this episode, we'll be discussing diabetic eye disease awareness and prevention with two very special guests from the American Diabetes Association. First, I'd like to welcome Dr. Robert Gabe, the ADA's Chief Scientific and Medical Officer. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gabe.
Thanks so much.
And then second, I'd like to recognize our guest, and we both, Dr. Gabe and I, think she's quite special. This is Natalie Carabao, and she is an ADA Healthy Vision Champion who will be sharing her story of living with diabetic retinopathy. Thanks for joining us, Natalie.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
We're excited too. So awareness is so critical when it comes to diabetes-related eye conditions. We know that people with early stages of disease may in fact have very few, if any, symptoms. And the ADA has had a very active campaign focused at raising awareness on this critical issue. Dr. Gabe, could you take us through the American Diabetes Association's Focus on Diabetes initiative?
Yes, thank you. It's really an important initiative. And what we're trying to do is solve this problem where we have made great advances in preventing eye disease, but too few people receive those treatments. In large part, it's because people are not being diagnosed until it's too late. And so our effort and focus on diabetes with partners is to sort of two main work streams. One, raising the awareness in people living with diabetes of the importance of a yearly eye exam. And on the other side, on the professional side, it's ensuring that our primary care colleagues and others do what needs to happen to make sure that these individuals get the eye care that they need. And by doing that, we look to reduce the burden of blindness.
And I think, Dr. Gabe, you and I both know that there have been such remarkable advances in diagnostic evaluation and treatment that if we can get to our patients early in the course of their disease, almost everybody now can maintain excellent vision. That's a big change from when I started practicing two decades ago.
Yes, that's a dramatic change. So now we just need to be able to implement this. We have the tools. The research has been done. We know what can be done, and it's effective. Now we need to get it to the people that need it.
Well, I think that's a beautiful transition for us to let Natalie, if she's comfortable, to tell us her story. So Natalie, I think your story is really important because it plays on a lot of the themes in diabetic eye care. So are you comfortable to tell us about your experience with diabetes and diabetic retinopathy?
Absolutely. I've been diabetic for 30 years now, so almost my entire life. And a lot has, as you mentioned, a lot has changed in between when I was diagnosed to today. I was always aware about complications, but in a very vague, faraway sense. So it's almost as though you don't want to know too much if it's not occurring to you that moment. Nothing really happened to me for most of my course of having diabetes. And a couple years ago, so that's about 28 years into my diagnosis, I started getting some signs of retinopathy, but I couldn't see it. There was nothing for me to do besides keep my glucose in good range. And so it was there, but it didn't really impact much of anything. So about a year ago, so I actually hit my 1 year anniversary of my significant eye challenges, is I woke up one day, couldn't see properly out of my right eye. You know, when it's in your face, you know something's wrong. I discovered that I had a significant hemorrhage in my right eye. So started going with eye injections, which was quite the shock for me. And I had them in both eyes. One eye couldn't see visually, but did have some stages of retinopathy. And so that continued for quite a few months, gradually started getting a little bit better, starting to see a little bit more, but very slowly. And then started to get a little bit twisted again. So I noticed that my vision that was there, it was going off to the side a bit. So then I was high alert. One day I saw the signs, which is bright flashing lights and a little bit of a veil going across my eye, which from all the Googling that I was doing, I knew that wasn't a good sign. But still, even then, I debated what to do. I had another eye injection appointment in a couple of weeks. So I thought, do I wait a couple of weeks? Do I go right away? And I thought to myself, what would future me want? And future me knew that the earlier you go in, the better case scenario it is. And there wasn't anything that I could do that could just magically make it better. So I went in and I discovered that my retina had in fact attached, which even though I was reading so much about it, still surprised me because I assumed your retina detaching meant you couldn't see anything. And you know, I'm in my apartment a lot now with everything that's going on. And I thought, well, I can read my Crest toothpaste. It can't be a detachment, but it was. So about a month ago, I had an eye surgery, so a vitrectomy, and I've been slowly healing ever since then.
So Natalie, what a great story. And really for me as a retina specialist, you hit on several key points. The first point you said was that when you were seen initially, you really had no symptoms. And I think that that's one of the things to take home for us is that when your retina specialist really wants to see you, is in the window before you've experienced a problem. That's one key for us. And then the second thing was too, Natalie, is that you got injections in your eye. That's an intravitreal injection. And we've talked about that. That's the most common treatment for wet macular degeneration and for diabetic macular edema. And we're finding those injections actually can be quite helpful also for regression of the overall retinopathy in the eye. But then you went on to have the thing that we worry about the most, of course, with you was first a vitreous hemorrhage, and that was all of those floaters that blocked your vision. And what's interesting too sometimes with patients is because often it can affect one eye only, the other eye is working well. Some of our patients don't really recognize that they've had a major loss of vision from that hemorrhage. And then third, you went on to have a retinal detachment where you had the flashing lights and the curtain-like change. I would say that from a retina specialist, it's like I prepped you to give the perfect descriptions. So that really was excellent. Looking at your story, anything that you think that might have been helpful for you along the way to make things a little different?
I think one of the bigger ones is just being able to talk about eye challenges and what are the things that can be done if something comes up. And so when you hear eye injection, I mean, I clearly freaked out. That sounded really like a terrible thing to happen. But if I knew other people that went through the same process and step-by-step what it means, because I think a lot of the cases I have like the immediate concern and they have the long-term concern, right? My immediate concern is how painful is this going to be? Mm-hmm. And my long-term concern is obviously, what about my vision? And I think both need to be addressed, but without a lot of other people that have that happening to them, I really didn't know what that meant. So once I kind of heard those stories, I felt a little bit better that I wasn't just the only person in the world having this eye challenge.
Right. So Dr. Gabe, Natalie also mentioned how important watching her blood sugars are. Can you comment from your perspective as to how we should best evaluate our patients on a long-term basis for their diabetic control?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, the test that we use that is the most helpful is this average of blood sugar control over the last 3 months, the hemoglobin A1C or an A1C. And that really, you know, where that is, really relates to what one's risk of developing retinopathy is. The lower that is, the less the risk, the higher, much higher risk. And so maintaining good blood sugar control is critically important to prevent retinopathy from developing. And then, you know, Natalie, you made a lovely point of you know, in your process, it was sort of getting that exam, seeing the eye professional at a timely point where they caught it and were able to do something. And that's the other big piece of this, is that the disease is going on before anybody, an individual with diabetes, would even know. There are no symptoms. And that's what makes it tough to say, well, why do I need to go? My vision's fine. Yeah, but the process is already happening and you may not know it.
And Dr. Gabe, we've seen some huge advances in sort of individual technologies to continuously monitor, you know, blood sugars. I think that seems to me to be empowering a lot of my younger patients in particular to feel more in control of their disease. Do you have any idea how that impacts the message that you're delivering to our members?
Yes, no, thanks for bringing that up. So I think really the availability of continuous glucose monitors, it's really revolutionized diabetes care. And now we talk about not only looking at that A1C value that I talked about, but really the time and range, because you're getting, as opposed to a series of snapshots of what someone's blood sugars might look like during the course of a day, you're getting a continuous read of what those values are. And now you can see, are the glucose values in range and what percentage of the time? And also, individuals with diabetes can see different things they do and the impact of those things on their blood sugars in real time. Right. Whether that's, you know, eating something and what it does to raise your blood sugar, or exercise and how it lowers your blood sugar. So it's a really helpful tool.
Natalie, have you had any experience with that?
Yes, I have a CGM and it completely changed my management. I don't think I would be able to even understand how to control it properly, because there's so much that your body just does on a daily basis that you could have your own just general flow. And I was always kind of beating up against myself when I just understand why I was high and being able to watch where I was trending and be able to interact with them, you know, in a reasonable manner, has made me feel more confident about my control and also helps me feel more safe, especially overnight.
Yeah. And I think it's important also, you know, we counsel our patients that this is something they're going to live with forever. And one of the things that I have always been fascinated by as a retina specialist is that I get to look at the microvasculature of the human body. And that's where diabetes really strikes and affects renal and kidneys and heart and maybe some of the blood, peripheral blood vessels. So I find it fascinating to be able to see that, because we can see the eye respond positively when we see our patients really improve their control. So Dr. Gabe, part of the general exam, of course, is all for our diabetologist is to check vision and question about vision. But I think one of the things that we at the ASRS that focuses on the retina specialty care is just what you've said. I love getting my patients early. So I know that we have a public health measure that tries to take us to when's the best exam. But I think that for me, I'm never unhappy with an early patient referral. I'm always concerned when the patient presents and I'm having to move immediately to a major intervention like injection therapy or surgical management. Any idea of how we move that needle a little bit for our patients?
Yeah, it's a critically important question because again, you know, people should not have to have you know, this kind of eye damage occur to them, because we can largely prevent it by catching it early. You know, I think there's an awareness message. So interestingly, we've done some survey work. Many people with diabetes don't realize the importance of that yearly exam. And so we need to get that message out. And that's part of the campaign that the American Diabetes Association is leading. And then we need to coordinate things between, you know, endocrinologists, but primary care providers, because 90% of people with diabetes get their care there, to coordinate them with our eye professionals so that They can ensure that the exam is getting done, have a record of it, be able to know when it's due, provide reminders, etc.
So one of the things that the electronic health record, which I abhorred at the beginning but have come to appreciate, is that when I'm done examining a patient like your exam, Natalie, when you go to my front desk, I give you actually a copy of your exam personally that moment. So now you can share that with your primary care specialist or your diabetologist or your nephrologist, anyone who needs to be involved, trying to make sure we're better in that communication, because I think that's really, really so important.
Yeah, that's a wonderful practice, and it would be great to see that spread across the country. It would make a huge difference.
Well, I know we've all wanted our medical records to talk to each other, but that's, you know, seems like a simple task, but I think you, Dr. Gabay, and I both know how hard that is. So the simple message of having the patient have their own exam for me is always sort of empowering. And the other thing, Natalie, to focus on is that we always are pushing for our patients when they're examined to have a dilated exam. And that's where their drops are in your eye, as you know, and your pupil dilates. And we tend to be really cruel in looking with that bright light, the indirect ophthalmoscope, which allows us to actually see the blood vessels in the eye. We're trying to educate our practitioners outside of retina that patients at risk need a dilated retina exam. That's one of the big keys for us. I keep getting patients who have been seen regularly, but really haven't had a diabetic exam. And the problem is that diabetes can affect the center of the vision early with diabetic macular edema, or it can have extreme effects in the periphery of the vision where the blood vessels are altered significantly, but they're really difficult to see, almost impossible, and often without symptoms with the patient. So that's part of our initiative too, Dr. Gabay, with you, is really pushing the timing of the exam, but also the appropriateness of what kind of exam.
Yeah, it's really important because I can't tell you the number of times that I've, I'll ask a patient, have you had an eye exam? And they'll say, oh yes, my prescription didn't change. And that's often like, yeah, but did they dilate your eyes? And then I sort of describe as you did, you know, and they go, oh yeah, no. Yeah. Well, that's good that you got that, but that's not the answer we're looking for. You need to be dilated to really be able to see what's going on. Because as you know, those peripheral vessels that you can't see easily can lead to significant eye disease and significant vision loss.
Yeah, it's sometimes fascinating to me where I can look at the part of the eye that you typically see with an undilated exam, and it looks remarkably normal. And then 2 millimeters away inside of the eye, the blood vessels are totally altered. And so it is so critical. There's been some new technology approaches, Natalie, where you can get a special picture taken in your non-ophthalmologist's office that can take a picture of the eye that's remarkably able to sort of document where the diabetic changes are occurring. And there have even been advances in some of the artificial intelligence platforms, maybe even to interpret those. So I think as a retina specialist, we're kind of excited to see some of this pushing out of our office and maybe easier to access for you, Natalie, but really allowing Dr. Gabay another tool for his referral patients to be able to evaluate and assist in their own care. Dr. Gabay, have you had any experience with that?
Yes, very much so. Before taking my role here at the American Diabetes Association, I was at the Joslin Diabetes Center as their chief medical officer. And one of those approaches, the Joslin Vision Network, which was an early use of this around the U.S. and now around the world, used that technology. And so we were very fortunate. We had a retinal camera in the endocrinology suite. And so every patient could get screened, and our screening rates were, you know, like 99% because it was just part of the care. So I do think that's part of the solution, is to, you know, in a sense, meet people where they're at. So people are going to see their endocrinologist, their primary care doctor. Why not be able to get that exam done right then and there? And that can hopefully close that gap, because right now, less than half of people are getting a yearly exam.
Yeah, I find that shocking, actually, that you can know that you have a disease, you're seeing a specialist managing your disease, but you're missing a part of the care that is focused on preventing blindness for you. So, Natalie, it sounds to me like it wasn't that you weren't comfortable to go to the doctor or weren't willing to go to the to your ophthalmologist, but you really didn't get pushed there as much as we might have liked. Is that correct?
Correct. And I think one of the challenges with eye exams, I mean, a lot of people I know, and I was one of them, I mean, don't enjoy it because you're right. There's a bright light in my eye. I have to be dilated, which now for me feels so easy because I've gone to so many appointments. But I think that if you don't see it and you don't understand it, it seems just something that you don't need to deal with. If you don't hear it, then it doesn't exist, right? But the more that now I'm fascinated with the eye, of all the amazing things that it does, and just hearing your retina is now flat, are things that I wait and get excited about. And so I'm always telling people now to go. There's no risk in going. At the most, you find out there's a problem. And then if you can't see it, there's a high chance that there's a lot that can be done. But it's just that making sure that you are paying attention to your body, because I might have noticed a floater that was happening that maybe I dismissed. So it's really being aware and also just making sure you're going and paying attention. And I think what you were mentioning about it making it more accessible is important, because a lot of times you go and there's all these words that are being said. And if you don't understand what's happening, you may miss something important, versus if you finally understand or talk to someone that's had it, then maybe being able to say, oh, okay, I'm more at risk. These are things I should be looking out for. This is how treatment options exist. But if you don't understand it, you could walk out and not really understand what to do.
And Natalie, you described sort of the course of symptoms that I think is so important. So first you realize that you really didn't have any, and then you had some of these non-specific symptoms. So, you know, as you get older, everybody gets floaters to one degree or another, but the sudden floaters that you had with the hemorrhage, they're pretty remarkable, aren't they?
Yes. And I've always asked what should I be seeing? And I never understood. And then when I saw one, I realized, that's what they've always meant.
Right. So we'll talk to the patients and I'll say, you know, you're going to see a floater. And they say, but I have floaters. And I go, this will be a floater like you've never seen before. And so it can block the entirety of vision. It can block part of the vision. It can move in the field of vision. We feel that for a patient that has an acute change, that has a history of diabetes, that's one of our signs that you should be seen urgently. So you have the no symptoms, you have maybe the blurring of vision in one eye more than the other, where there may be a need to address leakage of the blood vessels. You have the floaters where a blood vessel or the retina may have torn that causes a hemorrhage, or you have abnormal blood vessel growth that can unfortunately go into to detach the retina, where you get that sudden sharp flashing light, maybe with the curtain-like change of vision. And Natalie, your description was perfect, because you said, I could still read my Crest bottle. You know, so what that told you was the center vision, which is the reading vision, it was still pretty good, but something was going on out here, and that was your detachment. So you give a perfect history of all the things we'd like our patients to be aware of. So blurring of vision, the importance of checking one eye at a time, because your brain is smart. If one eye is good and one eye is blurry, your brain will kind of tune out the blurry part of your eye. And then that sudden flashing light, or those sudden floaters like you've not seen before, or the curtain-like change in your vision. And once again, for my patients that are diabetic, we talk about those symptoms. And I tell them, if you come in and it's nothing, I'm thrilled. But I don't want you not to have come in because you didn't want to bother me, or your appointment was in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and you thought it was worth waiting. Those are urgent symptoms, and we want you to be seen right away. So that story of yours is great.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, in some ways, it's almost, you know, we've trained people in general around, if you have chest pain, you need to go see the doctor right away. And some of these symptoms are, you know, of a similar level of urgency. If you're seeing those really, you know, significant changes in your vision, you need to go right away.
I think, Dr. Kubey, that's so important. And then Natalie, you actually experienced the most common treatment for the edema of the retina, which is the injection of the medication in the eye. And I will tell you that though I do those all day long, it's still, you know, when it's your first injection, it's kind of terrifying to a degree. And even when you've had many, and it sounds like you have, it's still not anything that you look forward to. So can you tell us how you dealt with your first injection?
Certainly. I mean, I completely freaked out is what I did. And I made the mistake, and I don't recommend doing this, but Googling the procedure, which even though I've had, even now, if I had it, I don't like to see it. And I was definitely very worked up about it. And my doctor did say, I could tell you that it's not very painful, but you're not going to believe me until it happens. And that's precisely what did occur. And so once I realized that after all the drops and the gel, I realized that my eye actually was quite numb. And so the procedure itself was not great. I don't love it. I'm uncomfortable during it, but it was nowhere near my imagination, which I found a lot of the eye procedures I've had that my imagination tends to run rampant on what it will feel like. And the reality is definitely not as terrible as that. And so once you have a couple, I think my adrenaline was also rushing a lot. I've learned a procedure, and everyone has their own way of how they like to set things up and how they like to behave afterwards. You know, I like to put a nice cold patch on my eye, just relax, but you find your pace after a while. And so now when I show up, it's not my favorite day, but I know I can definitely handle it.
Well, I think that Dr. Gabe will recognize too that we practice at a time when before these injections, really the most common cause of legal blindness in the United States for younger people was diabetes with macular edema. And in many cases, the early laser treatments that we used were not as successful as all of us would like. They were better than no treatment at all, but they actually destroyed parts of the retinal tissue to preserve vision in other areas. And these injections, as difficult as they sound, have revolutionized care for our patients. It's amazing. So for me, the 20 plus years that I practiced before and after injection therapy have been like a game changer. I mean, it's almost miraculous that if we can get you early in the course of your disease, you're going to read, you're going to drive, you're going to get old watching your grandchildren eventually. And that's really what I think we all want. So Dr. Gabay, one of the things that the ASRS has done is we had a survey that looked at a patient population group that was over 40, and really 40% of those people surveyed really had no idea how much advances in diabetic care overall and in diabetic eye care. Many of the patients still believed that there was no treatment and that you were just doomed to blindness. So part of the message I'm hoping that we can share together here is that's really not what any of us as retina specialists expect for our patients. We really do expect you to live an excellently normal sighted life and a long life also. Yeah. Any comments?
Yeah, no, I very much agree. It's, we've made such advances that nobody should really lose their eyesight to diabetes anymore. It's still heartbreaking when we see that happen, but the therapies are more effective. They've been studied, tested. Really, it sounds trivial, but it's really about getting a yearly eye exam, making sure a dilated exam is done. And most times, by far most times, things can be caught before there's any change in vision.
I agree. And not just caught before there's a change, but also treated to prevent a change.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Well, first of all, thank you both, Natalie and Dr. Gabe, for joining us. I think we're going to leave the two of you to solve and cure diabetes for us, which I know is a big mission. And I'll tell you, as a retina specialist that deals with diabetes daily, the most wonderful thing you could do is end the need ever to have a retina specialist. So I know there's some big hope in that. And I think that's really always what our future looks for. And I think that's what the future is going to hold. But till we get there, Remember the importance of your dilated exam. Remember your symptoms. Remember Natalie's story and know that Dr. Gabay is there to help you. So I'd like to thank Dr. Gabay and Natalie for speaking with us today and joining us from the American Diabetes Association, focusing on their diabetic initiative. So thank you both very much.
Thank you very much for having us and having this program. It's really important.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Natalie, thank you. I think it's very brave, Natalie, to tell a story that's that personal. So I want to really thank you for doing that. I think your story is much more important than almost anything that I'm going to say. So that's heartwarming to hear, and I'm glad you're doing well. And then I'll encourage our listeners to know that you can see us and hear us at our website at asrs.org/patients. And also, please visit the American Diabetes Association website because they have outstanding tips that supplement much of what we talk about when we focus on specific eye care. So thank you all for joining us for this episode of Retina Health for Life from the President's Corner, brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists.